Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Monday edition of The Drive. Do you think we have anything to talk about today? I would say so. And this, I thought so first thing this morning before there was any other news of the day, just about the Auburn-Oklahoma football game from Saturday. But then, I guess late morning came the reports. First there were rumblings and rumors, and then reports nationally, and then confirmation that the Bruce Pearl era at Auburn is done. Sad, but I mean, Bruce Pearl, a vibrant 65-year-old, has been talking about, you know, not coaching forever for quite a while, and he put out a great video that we will let you hear the audio from in just a little while here today as well. He did address, you know, his thoughts of running for political office, and said that, you know, he prayed long and hard about it, and that was not the direction that he is going in now. As a matter of fact, saying that to do that, he would have to leave Auburn. And he did not want to leave Auburn, and he will be staying at Auburn. And I believe the title, I need to pull up the official releases. I believe he's going to be special assistant to the athletics director, basically, and as he said, a senator for Auburn. So, you know, Bruce Pearl with an unbelievable job at Auburn, coming into a program that was at the bottom of the Southeastern Conference, and not many people, if any, felt that he could make it not only a contender for SEC and national notice on a yearly basis, but just get them competing in the Southeastern Conference. And he did more than that. I mean, just unbelievable. It took a couple of years to get things going, then winning an SEC title, a conference tournament title, but then finishing his 11 years, averaging better than 20 wins. As a matter of fact, averaging about 22 wins per year for his 11 years. Auburn had only had a handful of 20-win seasons in its history before Bruce Pearl arrived. Two Final Fours, just a tremendous record. Five conference titles, three regular season championships, two tournament championships, a number one ranking, its first ever number one ranking in both polls in 2022, its first Final Four, and then this past year, its second Final Four. He has the sixth most SEC men's basketball championships in conference history, and that is mind-boggling to think that is the case, at a program that was at the bottom of the SEC and had been for a while. I mean, Auburn basketball would, through history, have moments and then would slide back into, let's face it, mediocrity or at times less than that. Only Adolph Rupp, Billy Donovan, Dale Brown, and John Calipari have more SEC wins than Bruce Pearl does in his time at Tennessee and Auburn, and his 178 SEC wins and 6 combined SEC championships are tied for 7th most. I mean, just an unbelievable legacy that Bruce Pearl has left. And there was I mentioned the video, which we will play for you here, let you hear the audio for that in just a little while. That release, that video, has it ending with his family all gathering behind. You won't be able to see that, obviously, since it's radio, but I mean, has the family all gathering behind him, and they give a war eagle, and it wraps up like that. Stephen Pearl will be stepping in, taking over for his father. Stephen, at 38, has been the defensive coordinator for Auburn for the past few years under his dad, and has done a tremendous job. And you know, it's something that has been speculated and discussed quite a bit, and you know, now it is indeed happening. But I thought it was really cool touch that the video, there is a second video that was released when with Auburn men's basketball on Twitter, or on X, I guess, releasing that, and that video picks up from the point. It's like a an epilogue after the when you're watching the movies and the credits are rolling, and you're thinking, oh, there may be something else. Well, this picks up with the family and Bruce and the War Eagle, and the family starts to exit to the right. And Stephen is walking the other way, and Bruce says to Stephen, did you forget something? And tosses him the basketball, and they come together, and Stephen gives a War Eagle. So I mean, really, really well done. Again, we will let you hear some of that in just a little while. We want to hear from you. Dan is making his way into the building right now. He was going to head down since today is the first day of basketball practice just about everywhere. Dan, of course, the voice of Troy women's basketball, he was going to head down to the first day of practice there. But when the news got out, he turned around and, as a matter of fact, has now made it back into the station, and he'll be sliding in here momentarily. I tell you what we will do. We'll go ahead. We'll go ahead and get to our first break here of the afternoon. Clay, hang on. We'll get to you as well. When we come back, just underway here on a momentous day on this Monday edition of The Drive.
The Drive with The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill and Dan has now made it in. Dan, thanks for turning around and coming back.
I was going to. I'll disclose everything.
Oh,
to
I just told
our,
it.
Okay, good.
I told it.
Good.
To
I was gonna. I mean, I was gonna. I had plans to miss today, but you know what? I talked it over. I talked it over with my family.
Talk with myself.
I talked it over with my family, and I said, you know what, guys, the Drive needs me. It's
well, I mean, the other thing is Brian Matthews usually with us, and because Hugh Freeze's press conference was pushed back an hour, and they always do a rundown on Mondays, Brian was not sure if he'd be able to make it, said he'd try to make it for hour number two.
Clay's been hanging on. We'll get to Clay in just a second. I want to say this, though, because I don't want to discriminate against younger fans or newer fans, because obviously you're a huge part of Auburn basketball too. And you listed the numbers in the first segment, Bill, and they're all very impressive.
It is amazing to think that Bruce averaged more wins than Auburn had ever had. You could count on both hands.
But here's the thing: if you aren't old enough, or if you weren't around to go to a game in front of an empty crowd at Beard Eves Coliseum, pre-Bruce, if you don't remember what it was like, or if you didn't get to experience, I mean, as a student, walking into Beard Eves Coliseum 5 minutes after tip with LSU in town on a Saturday night, and without exaggeration, being able to sit courtside. Or just behind.
If you couldn't sit on the front row, you'd be in the first five rows.
I mean, to go from that to this, and I got to experience. I left Auburn, got to experience a little bit of college basketball, blue blooddom at UCLA. I never thought it was possible. I never thought that something like that could happen at Auburn. And what Bruce Pearl has done, he's a guy who's done the impossible. And I can't imagine any feeling except gratitude and admiration for the job that he did turning Auburn basketball into what it is now. And it's going to be different without him. But I think inheriting something like this inheriting's a funny word for it, but Steven getting a roster like this in September and what looks to be the assistant coaches sticking around and rallying around him, I mean, it's an ideal way to start a new era as opposed to Steven taking over in April with a blank slate, you know, with nobody on the roster and having to assemble, you know, having to build that way. I think this gives him a chance to start his college basketball career as a head coach extremely well. Just like I look at, you know, guys like John Shire at Duke, who took over for a legend, and he's done very well in his first head coaching job after learning for a long time. Tommy Floyd, not exactly the same thing, but he was learning from Mark Few at Gonzaga for a long time. Right. Now he's winning at Arizona every year in his first head coaching job. Like, there are parallels to Steven. But it's just, and what he does, he's his own man. It's his era. But I'm so glad I got to see as much of this Bruce Pearl era as possible, and to see him turn Auburn basketball into something that to be honest, I never thought I would see.
No, absolutely. This has been a dream, like a dream come true. I just looked at the numbers. In 108 years of Auburn basketball prior to Bruce Pearl, Auburn had had 7 20-win seasons. 11 years with Bruce Pearl, 7 20-win seasons.
Shocking.
It's just amazing. And then, you know, 2 Final Fours, couple of 30-win seasons. I mean, just fabulous. It has been a tremendous ride.
3 regular season conference championships?
Yes.
I mean, 3 SEC. How many SEC regular season conference championships in the 50 years before Pearl arrived? Out of curiosity, did Auburn have to its name? You know, before Bruce's 3. Bill, since you got
Joel Eaves may have had a conference championship.
I mean, it was, but it's.
That
I mean,
may have been it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just.
Well, and Cliff.
And Cliff. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, it wasn't. The number wasn't 0.
No,
but I don't think it was 3. I don't think it was 3 either. No. Like, I mean, it's incredible what he's done, and it's great news that he will.
Auburn has had 6 regular season conference championships,
and 3 of them.
3 of them are Bruce's.
3 of them for Bruce. I mean, so it's to have him stick around, and not like I made the comparison on the Doug show. It's not going to be like Jay Leno and Conan O'Brien. He's not going to be looming over Steven's shoulder, waiting to take over. No. You know, at a moment's notice or something. Like, he's going to be advocating for this program on the NIL front, on the fundraising front.
A tremendous asset for Auburn.
And I no disrespect to the Nevilles. That arena should have his name on it.
Something that
I think it'd be a great gesture by the Nevilles. If that thing's Bruce Pearl Arena presented by the Neville family or something, you know, and if there's an indoor basketball only, right? If there's a basketball only facility, which people talk about being a priority too, I think there's a pretty good idea whose name should be on that too.
No question about it. All right, 334-321-1390 is the drive. Hotline sponsored by Skybar. Clay's been hanging on for a while. Hey, Clay.
Sorry about that, Clay. I just wanted to say something before we got to you.
Hey, look here. Dan, people do not turn the radio on to listen to Clay from Montgomery, his take on anything. They want to hear what Dan and Bill have to say. So do not ever apologize for something like that. And, yes, that arena it absolutely needs to be Neville Pearl or Pearl Neville Arena. I mean, it is what it needs to be. And it's amazing that we as Auburn fans are talking about the basketball program rather than talking about all the mess that went on with the football program this weekend.
Yeah, you're not kidding. Like I said, I thought we'd have plenty to talk about today, this morning.
I talked to Bill before the show. Clay, I don't know how much Oklahoma we're going to talk today after a game that is full. I mean, Ferguson and I did an hour and 40 minutes on Oklahoma yesterday on the Observer podcast.
Could, I feel like you could do hours and hours on that game.
And yet, you're right, we're talking basketball.
You could do 3 or 4 hours, and this is the thing. I'll tell you exactly who I am. I'm 52 years old. I was a little boy when Chuck Person and Charles Barkley was playing at Auburn and Sonny Smith. We made it to the Final Eight. And we went through a desert. We were like the children of Israel.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tie this to Bruce Pearl. For 40 years, we walked through the desert of being terrible. Mm. And there would be that one peak. And the 99, 2000, 2001, you know, we had that one little span there with Cliff Ellis. But we hired the best, you know, coaches that were, I mean, this is the up-and-coming coach. Tommy Joe Eagles was, I mean, God, he was the dude. And he had the greatest players. And Tony Barbie, he was considered the great coach coming up. Jeff Lebo was a great hire. He was a under.
You'll still to this day, Clay, Michael Jordan will tell you Jeff Lebo knows as much about basketball as just about anybody that he's encountered in his professional life, which is why he had a big role with the Bobcats for a long time.
Dan, you just took the words out of my mouth. I would be able to make an argument that he was the best actual coach that Auburn has had.
Oh, Jeff Lebo at the helm. Yeah, at the helm of a blue blood with an established like talent pipeline.
Yeah, but trying to build this thing from the ground and recruit the way that Bruce had to, and to just be able to get out and build the support.
It's about
that's something Jeff Lebo's not built for.
I'll tell you what, it's about, especially when you're trying to heat something like that up. It's about running for office as much as I'll tie that one to Bruce too. It's about running for office as much as it's about coaching a team, and his salesmanship was first rate.
100%. I texted Doug Amos the day that I knew ahead of time that BP was going to be named the coach. And the exact text that I sent to Doug Amos was, we're fixing to prove if Auburn can kill every coach's absolutely ability to win. Because if Bruce Pearl can't win at Auburn, nobody can win at Auburn. And I was up there that first day when we beat Arkansas that Saturday and we won the SEC, I held the net. Stephen Pearl handed me the net, and I put it around my neck, and I've got a picture of it.
That's great.
Standing on the court, I snuck in the building, because back then you could still sneak into the building is how little people went to the games back then. It was awesome. And my daughter was playing a volleyball tournament in the whole student act with CCJ. And I just snuck in, and I've got confetti and all that. Whatever BP says, whatever he does, I don't care. I'm with him. He changed Auburn basketball forever. And I cannot believe I'm saying this. I love Pat Dye. I worked for Pat Dye for 2 years. I knew Pat Dye personally. Bruce Pearl is the greatest coach that has ever coached at Auburn University. I will say that because he resurrected a dead program. Our football program had some success. It had some struggles, but it had success, and it was still maintainable, and there was more attention on it. Nobody cared about the basketball program until BP got there, and he made it something. And I never would have thought we would have been to a Final Four, much less to two Final Fours. And I've got the basketballs on my wall, and they're at the center of the wall in my office. War damn Eagle. Love you, Coach. Do what you want to do, and Stephen's going to be just fine.
Great stuff, Clay. Really appreciate the call. And Auburn, stuff, Clay. Auburn people, again, Auburn, the Auburn family will be very happy to know that Bruce isn't going anywhere.
No, he's going to be Auburn's.
He's going to be here, and he will be Auburn's ambassador, Auburn senator.
Auburn senator. He won that election in a landslide.
It was unanimous. All right, we'd love to hear from you if you have some favorite moments of Bruce Pearl, but anything you want to talk about. John is up next. Hey, John.
Hey, John.
Hey, good afternoon. Good to hear y'all on the air again. I want to share a story, if I may. My son had to speak at Auburn at a gathering. He was a state officer in an organization, our FFA organization. Mm-hmm. He was asked to speak over there. And my third child is a little disappointing. He is not a sports fan at all. So the other two are, but he is not, in fact. But nevertheless, he had to go speak. He was back behind the curtain of wherever they were supposed to speak. And this was early on. This was over 10 years ago. And so he was back behind, and he said, gentleman that was supposed to speak too, he said, hey, how you doing? They started up a conversation. He said, do you follow sports? And he said, not really. And he said, what about basketball? He said, my dad does. He said, I heard that Auburn got a new basketball coach. And he grinned and said, yeah, that's me. I'm Bruce Pearl. And so Bruce went out first, and he spoke, and there were a lot of people there, a lot of reporters there. Like I said, Bruce has not been hired long. And so then he's asked to call out right after Bruce Pearl, and he said, Dad, I understood the significance of sports in our state at that moment. He said, because when I walk out, about 75% of the people left.
Hey, following Bruce would be difficult regardless of who you are, where you are, anywhere. But yeah, that I understand that.
But he became a Bruce Pearl fan because of the kind of man he was. And I've never met Bruce, but he talks about he probably spent 20 or 30 minutes with him because they were waiting to speak. And I just thought that was really great. And as far as what he accomplished, I don't know if he's the best coach in the history of Auburn sports, period, but I do know this. I've never seen anyone that was more suited to bring back a dead program like he was. And I've never seen people as fired up. In the last 3 or 4 years, people that are Auburn fans have been more fired up by far over basketball than they have been about football. That's not even close.
No,
and I didn't think I would ever see that. No. You know, I've seen some surprising things in my life. Tommy Tuberville being a senator and now going to run for governor. I didn't think that would ever happen in my life. Proves how dumb I am at predicting things. And I didn't ever think that we would have the support for Auburn basketball that we've had. And I didn't think anybody would surpass the years that I was there during the 80s with Barkley in person and Chris Morris and all that bunch. And I used to slip in and watch Sonny's practices. Sonny was a great guy, had a foul mouth. But nevertheless, I just didn't think anybody could surpass what Sonny did or what Cliff Ellis did for that little short period of time. But to have the sustainability he had was absolutely amazing to me. One of the best jobs I've ever seen in coaching, period.
No, you're absolutely.
No, absolutely. No, I mean, absolutely. And yeah, it speaks to, I mean, the impact Bruce Pearl made on Auburn. You know, the thought that it's not just about the winning. I mean, winning the way Bruce Pearl did would have been impressive anywhere in the SEC. I mean, that this record would have been impressive at Kentucky. You know, what he's done over, you know, especially since 2017, 2018.
Absolutely would have taken what he's done in the last few years.
It would have been impressive at Kentucky. The thought that it happened at a place that had been, you know, as troubled over the previous decades as a basketball program as Auburn. And the thought that now, as he mentioned in the video, that Auburn having college basketball's top home court advantage is part of the identity of the university. To go from famously quiet.
Place anybody was, you know, no one minded. As a matter of fact, if you're going to play a road game, they would love to play it at Auburn, to now this being one of the most difficult. Going to be really interesting to see if that atmosphere, you know, if it continues.
And that's why I think go ahead, John.
Could you have ever imagined Levo going to fraternity houses like Bruce did?
No. Going around serving pizza.
That was Bruce. I mean, remember when he painted himself orange back at Tennessee, right? And remember when he did he went to the women's game and did the cheer at the Tennessee game in his first year, sort of endear himself there. And then Pat Summitt did the cheerleading routine at one of the Tennessee men's games that year. He has been from the moment.
He's one of the best promoters. Yeah. That there is.
Yeah, period. I mean, he is, you know, part of this is being a carnival barker, mm-hmm. and he's fantastic at that, and it helps. Look, it helps if you can do that, but that's not the job. The job is winning basketball games and doing that and being comfortable doing both. And Bruce is, it's difficult to imagine somebody who's better suited to that than Bruce.
Appreciate the call, John. 334-321-1390. We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Did we lose June?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Hang on. We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. You'll be up when we come back here on the Monday Drive.
Devin. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio. Drew at the controls on a huge news day as Bruce Pearl is retiring. Stephen Pearl will be taking over as head coach of Auburn men's basketball. And we are thrilled to be joined by one of our favorite people as well as favorite coaches of all time. And that is the one and only Coach Sonny Smith joining us here on The Drive. Sonny, how are you doing today?
I'm great. I hope you guys are.
We are. We're doing fine. I mean, everybody, you know, is sad, but then happy for Bruce Pearl that, I mean, he's able to, you know, do what he wanted, what he has accomplished at Auburn. He, as I said a little earlier, he is about as vibrant and lively a 65-year-old as you're ever going to find.
Yeah, I wish he could stay coaching, but in his situation, if you can get his son to take over the coaching job, that is so great, and that's the way I think it should have been and the way it's going to be, and I think we'll all prosper from this. Bruce, I don't know what's going to happen with him, but I guarantee you something good will.
Coach, I'd love to know, because I remember watching when he was at UW-Milwaukee, and he won that NCAA tournament game and sort of got on the national radar the year before he took the Tennessee job. But he was known in coaching circles before that even. Do you remember sort of the first time Bruce Pearl was ever on your radar and even the first time you ever met him?
Oh, I met him at coaching clinics around the country before that when he was at Milwaukee, I believe. And then later on, I did a clinic with him somewhere before, so I knew Bruce Pearl and had met him a long time ago.
And could you sense then that there was something really special about this guy and he was destined for big things?
Yes, and you could tell it because he's so knowledgeable about basketball. He's got a great personality, which would take care of the recruiting part of it. And he's a hard worker. I mean, you won't get many people to work any harder than Bruce Pearl. So I knew that his days were numbered. Wherever he's coaching, he is going to go up. And he went from Milwaukee up for sure.
Oh, no doubt. And we had a caller a little while ago, Sonny, that was talking about being in school back in the 80s and going through times after that, feeling like, well, that was the high point, and maybe not to ever expect anything better than that from Auburn basketball from the days of Charles and Chuck and making, you know, NCAA sure. tournaments, but to the time when Bruce was hired, Auburn basketball was down. I mean, they were down, had moved to a new arena. There were people wondering, why did you spend money on a new arena?
Folks wondering
Nobody cares about Auburn basketball.
Folks were wondering if you kept the receipt for Neville
really?
Arena. But
but, I mean, to look at the situation that Auburn basketball was in when Bruce came in, to where he got it, and then not only got it, but has been able to sustain it over the last half dozen plus years.
Bruce was, first off, he was a great recruiter. And first off, he had so many recruiting areas open to him because of the places that he'd been. So he could recruit anywhere in the country probably very well. He adjusts to the public really well. He's very good at selling the program and getting people involved. And I would always see Bruce Pearl as being a success on whatever he's doing.
I had a media appearance earlier today, and they were sort of asking, you know, what will the absence of Bruce Pearl be like in game? Because a lot of college basketball coaching, you know, gets boiled down to assembling the roster and what you do on the recruiting trail, and then you know, it's almost assumable the players are gonna play. Bruce Pearl is incredibly involved in the strategic in game aspect of this. How will that absence be felt in your mind?
I think Stephen can do all the things that Bruce has been doing. He just doesn't have the experience, and I think he's going to be an excellent recruiter, and I think he can do all the things that Bruce has been doing over the years, and I also think he can add something to it. Youth, the youth determination, you know, we're getting out and recruiting, spending hours out there, which he'll be able to do a little bit more now, and I think Stephen will do a terrific job here.
Yeah, Stephen, of course, has been his defensive coordinator now for a few years. Mike Burgermeister is, the offensive coordinator. Bruce has delegated or allowed his assistants to really be able to not just have their hands, but be so involved. And I think that's got to be a plus as, this transition is made with so many coaches that are familiar with each other.
Yes, you work for Bruce Pearl. Everybody gets closer to one another. Everybody's got definite responsibilities, and everybody wants to work hard to get to a higher position themselves, and also to keep the program going or to improve the program. And he certainly has done all those things. And those guys that he's got, they have gotten better and will be better coaches because of him.
Well, today, the first day of basketball practice, I mean, it is. We knew there were a lot of new faces. It's not a new face, but it will be. It is a different face now at the head of the program with Stephen, who has really gotten some. I mentioned how Bruce has given his assistants so much responsibility. We've seen Stephen really this summer, and you know, since the end of last season, he's been out there going to a lot of the Auburn clubs and meetings and things like that. You've seen really the preparation and everything being laid there, making way for him being named the next head coach.
Well, that was all Stephen needed. He needed to be able to get out to the Auburn clubs and sell the program. He needed to get out to do more recruiting as the head coach, and he had the experience as an assistant, but not as much because he stayed close to the campus more so than the other assistants. Now that he's got this situation, he will do a terrific job because he has been schooled and worked himself into a position to be a very good head coach.
Yep, and I mentioned this a little while ago, and you were saying so whatever Bruce is going to do. Auburn people really happy to hear Bruce. He had a 14-minute video that he put out, and toward the end of it he said he's not going anywhere, that he had thought and prayed hard about entering politics, but that would have meant leaving Auburn, and he's not leaving Auburn. As a matter of fact, he will be a special assistant to the athletics director, says he's going to be Auburn's senator.
Oh, well, I'm glad he's staying. Bruce Pearl was an excellent coach. He's an excellent communicator. I tell you what, if you ever go into a home with him, you'd see how good he is as far as a recruiter. And I was in two homes with him. And I can tell you this, not only was he a great coach on the floor, he was also a great recruiter in the home.
And a great person. Another one to add, it's great to know that, look, we've got Sonny Smith here, and now Bruce Pearl is going to be here as well. Sonny, it's great to be able to have a little time to talk to you. I mean, a little sad that Bruce is stepping down, but we really appreciate you spending a little time with us here this afternoon.
Well, anytime. You know that, Bill. I enjoy being on your show.
All right, Sonny. Thanks, and take care.
All the best, Sonny.
Thank you.
Coach Sonny Smith joining us, and yes, I mean, you talk. I mean, they're
the best.
Just, yeah. There are some just great people that it's you're so privileged at times to have a chance to meet and be around, and it's great when you know when a lot of people know who they are. But I mean, it doesn't matter. These are just really good people, Sonny, and then obviously Bruce.
And excited to talk to Andy tomorrow, who's also watched a lot of this.
Absolutely.
And I think those are the people. You know, obviously the current assistant coaches are a little bit busy right now. Although
yeah, first day of practice with almost a completely new team.
Although Steven will talk to the media on Wednesday morning.
That is right.
Introductory press conference scheduled for 9 a.m. But the you know, to talk to someone like Coach Sonny Smith when he has been in the chair, but he was also broadcasting the games from the beginning of
right.
the Pearl era and watched that team go from – you know, the struggles of that first season, you know, first couple of seasons, watching them turn the corner, that 17-18 season where everything fell into place and Auburn wins the SEC out of nowhere, and more or less a sustained...
Oh, I mean, so it's in Auburn has been at the top, or, you know, either at or right near the top of the SEC.
You get the speed bump in the tumultuous Sharif Cooper season,
yeah,
but I mean, but aside from that, I mean, it's been a year where Auburn has been expected to be among the best in the SEC, and they've delivered on that year in and year out,
mm-hmm.
and it's... Yeah, it's just an honor to get to talk to Coach Sonny Smith, because he would know better than just about anybody what it takes to do what Coach Pearl has done.
All right, we will get to our final break of hour number one. Again, phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. Love to hear from you here on the Monday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, final segment of hour number one here on this September 22nd.
Yeah, I was ready to talk some Oklahoma with you, Bill.
Oh, there's plenty to talk
and
about.
There is plenty
to talk about.
I mean, like I said, Ferg and I did a very long podcast yesterday talking about the Auburn-Oklahoma game, and we left some stuff out. You know what I mean? Like, there was stuff that we could have gotten to. So
there's so many. I mean, there's so many different things that you can go into.
It would take a story like this to make it to where
we're
barely talking Oklahoma in hour number one. We'll talk some, you know, maybe we'll talk some more football in hour two than we did in hour one.
Yeah, and as I said, look, I mean, the info is leaked as to who everybody's three annual opponents are going to be in the SEC football,
and a couple of surprises, I think, in some of that in some of that scheduling news as well. But no, I think it's appropriate considering the impact Bruce Pearl left on the program, and considering the, I mean, how. And I know there were probably some folks who suspected.
This is a Final Four coach stepping down.
Yeah, and that people
last
are saying
year, you know,
that that people are saying is maybe the best, not only basketball coach, but as impactful. And I made the case on the drive or on the Doug show earlier today, Bill, that I mean, looking in the modern era of college basketball, I wonder what kind of coach made an impact like Bruce at a school. Like, you think about the, you know,
oh my, you turning something around?
Yeah.
What about any sport? Has there been a school? Howard Schnellenberger at Miami.
Sure.
I'm trying to think of coaches that went to schools that were just either homecoming opponents, jokes at the bottom of their league, and turned them not just into having one good year, but into, you know, year in, year out, national, you know, contenders.
Now, and I would point at Scott Drew at Baylor, because Baylor was a disaster right. in men's basketball before he arrived, and they've become a national championship program and a consistent Big 12 championship type of program. But there aren't very many in any sport in this era as far as, yeah, they showed up and they turned, I mean, what, Bobby Bowden? Right, like I mean, you want
Bobby
Bowden
at Florida State? Yeah. Absolutely. They were everybody's homecoming.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? That's and that's the kind of impact.
That's what Bruce Pearl did with Auburn.
Yeah, that's what he did. And if you don't understand why that's significant, Bill, you saw a little bit of Florida State pre Bobby Bowden.
Oh, I sure did. I sure did. I mean, they were. They played like they were still an all female school.
Yeah, Krzyzewski. You know, I mean those are the kind of coaches you can talk about.
That is what Bruce Pearl did at Auburn. Brian Matthews.
Rarefied air.
Brian Matthews, you got here a little quicker. That's good. You guys knocked that thing out quickly.
Yep, 45-minute podcast over at the Rain Room over at the old athletic complex.
There you go.
Rolling over here for
what a day, Brian. I mean, we thought there'd be plenty to talk about regarding Saturday, and there is.
Yeah.
But there's no question the Bruce Pearl news has pushed that back.
Yes, it has. And what an incredible 11 seasons he had here at Auburn. He's definitely the greatest men's basketball coach in this program's history. It's not even close.
No, one of the greatest coaches in Auburn history in any sport.
Yes, I was going to say, you can make that case, obviously. Not longevity-wise, of course, but his impact on the program, his ability to take a program that has been one of the worst in the SEC and turn it into one of the best.
Yeah, Brian, I mean, you've been around here for a few years as well, and we had a caller talking about, you know, feeling like those years of the 80s with Sonny. You know, we're going to be the glory years of Auburn basketball. Yeah. You had that one
great eight.
Blip. Yeah. You had that one student short period of time, you know, with Cliff for a couple of years. But, I mean, nobody could have ever dreamed that Auburn basketball would be what it has become over the last few years.
Even in those great years in the 80s and that run with Cliff, it was still hard to sell out and fill up Beardy's and make it a tough place to play.
Mm-hmm.
And what he's done in Neville, that's also incredible too.
It is. It's really unbelievable. Tex called a little earlier, and then we got Sonny Smith on, and Brian walks in, so we pushed him back another minute or so. But hey, Tex.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Dan. Hey, Brian. How are y'all?
Hey, Tex. Good to hear from you.
Doing great.
Good. Thank you. Bill, you know, you and I have known each other a long time. Have you ever known me to be a basketball fan other than women's basketball?
Not until maybe a little recently.
A little recently. Bruce Pearl made somebody who's been a season ticket holder since 1984 in both in football and for several years in baseball, who will travel all over the country to watch the baseball team and the football team play. He made somebody like that a basketball fan. So much so, my wife reminded me that one time, I forget who we were playing, we were going to Mass. It was on a Saturday. The game was tight. I brought my phone in the church with me and was watching it on the Score app so I could know what the basketball score was. I can't believe that I would ever say
no,
that.
No, I can't imagine I would have ever thought you'd be doing that, no.
Exactly. So it is quite remarkable. I'd love to talk about the Oklahoma game, but this is, I hate to say it's more important, but it really is. It's a change in history for a sport at Auburn that probably just experienced its best best years ever. And I went to school with Chuck and Chris and, you know, the Rifleman. All of them were in school when we were there. And we had fun, but it wasn't like now.
No.
Because when my first time I've ever been in Neville Arena for a basketball game that wasn't an exhibition was the Georgia game, first SEC game, Georgia game this past year. And I was like a little kid. I was giddy. It was so much fun. Tough game. Georgia played us tough for a while, but it changed the way we look at basketball as Auburn fans.
No question about it. And younger fans, well, you know, it's hard for them to even imagine anything like this. But yeah, it is indeed, as Dan said, like you know, being led out of the wilderness. my goodness, great hearing from you, Tex. All right, we will get to our top of the hour break. Brian with us for hour number two. We'll get to as many calls as possible as well. 334-321-1390 here on the Monday Drive.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email TheDrive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Monday Drive. Bill, Dan, Brian. Hey, we've got everybody in here. The plans were, I mean, Dan was going to be down in Troy watching the first day of the women's basketball practice. And then when we got the news, the big news of the day, which changed times for press conferences, Hugh Freeze didn't meet with the media until 2:30 today. Brian had to, you know, get a lot of work done, plus a podcast. And so I thought I might be here by myself, but Dan, turning around and heading back because of the big news, which was
duty calls, Bill.
Yes, hey, the end of the Bruce Pearl era.
It's amazing.
At Auburn, and what an era it has been.
Today is the first day of practice when it was announced, so I think you know, they wanted the turnover to happen, you know, before it officially
wanted
started.
Right, have the change made from day one of practice.
Right, but. It really is one of those days that you'll remember. It's the end of an incredible era of basketball. So many great achievements under the Bruce Pearl era. The three regular season,
two conference tournaments,
and two trips to the Final Four.
Yeah,
just incredible. I think that's an 8-year run, if I'm not mistaken. There, it took him a few years to get going. Of course, from what he inherited.
But there has been more of those accomplishments in the last 8 years than in Auburn's first 110 plus years of basketball.
It's crazy when you look at it. It's just incredible what he has done to this program, transformed it, turned Neville Arena into a great atmosphere for college basketball, one of the toughest places to play, a place that
one of the toughest
folks,
tickets anywhere.
Yep. I mean, if I would have told you 15 years ago that, you know, you couldn't get a ticket to an Auburn home game, your best chance was to get one for a game in Atlanta or Birmingham, you would have laughed.
You're right. No, you're not kidding.
Drive to Starkville. Yeah. That's your best shot at seeing Auburn.
Yeah. I mean, it's just it's a completely different program now than it was.
Hey, Auburn people will tell you it may be easier to get a ticket at Rupp to see Auburn than it is to see them
there
at Auburn.
Seats at Rupp, so.
Yeah, that's right.
And I will say that they did the right thing by making the Neville Arena the size it is, because it's perfect and it's a really, really tough atmosphere and really loud in there and really a great home court advantage.
Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com here with us in hour number two. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also present the podcast, available wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Let's start with Jeff here in hour number two. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Doing fine.
good. Wow. What a day. What a day. The BP, I heard that earlier today on breaking news on one of the Birmingham stations. I thought it was one of their little inside jokes at first, and then I said, no, this is absolutely happening.
Yep.
Yeah, the sad thing is that the news got out there before Bruce had a chance to talk with the players.
Well, yeah, that's how it happens nowadays with social media and technology. It's hard to keep anything. Yeah.
It's too big of a story. It was going to get out.
And I would hope, you know, without knowing, you know, what sort of conversations happened behind the scenes, like I would hope that we can take Bruce at his word, and it's like he was considering what to do all summer and went into the school year not knowing exactly what he was going to do and made the decision now. And if that's not what happened, I would hope the players were sort of involved too, because if it's a matter of like waiting until it, you know, they can't transfer, then I can understand someone feeling misled if that's exactly how it went down. But we don't, you know, I think, you know, and some folks are making, you know, are wondering about that. I would think this isn't something that shocked everyone behind the scenes out of nowhere.
No, well, if it was another program not knowing the direction they're going and where Bruce is taking us, my belief, I think the players knew. I think somewhere along the line, he probably had already told them. He's brought this program way too far to be deceptive. That's just my opinion. I believe the players probably knew.
Well, I think the fact that he's not going anywhere, also would help alleviate that concern a little bit.
And it's not, I think, crucially, the fact that it's not a brand new staff
right
coming in. The thought that it's not the – I mean, if you signed up to play for Bruce Pearl this season, yeah, you're not going to play for Bruce Pearl, but you're playing for every other coach that you thought you would play for this year. If Bruce Pearl steps down and Auburn ushers in an entirely new coaching staff – It's a decidedly different thing.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, for my money, I think I'm somewhere in the age group of Brian, late 50s. To me,
Brian's 20. Brian's 21. Oh, 21 this weekend.
Brian aged over the weekend, even though he had a great weekend when the daughter got married. So, yeah. Yep.
Oh yeah. Well, you can arguably say that this is one of the greatest hires in the history of college sports.
No question.
And I know that's saying a lot, but if you look where this program was, other than a few sprinkles with Sonny, and there were great times, but nothing like this, nothing of the national stage that Bruce has put this program on consistently. So for my mind, this has to be one of the top five greatest hires ever. And I can readily say that. You know, I've listened to it. It makes you forget the Barbie era, you know, or did we ever have an era then?
Right. Yeah. Error or era?
Era.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm happy he's going out on top. You know, it's a sad day because I'm going to – There's not a greater character than BP was. You know, I love to just listen to his post-game, pre-game, whatever he was talking about with the program. So that I'm going to miss more than the wins and losses, to be honest with you. Just the charisma that he brought to the program.
Great stuff, Jeff.
Thank you, guys. We'll talk about Oklahoma some other time.
That sounds good. 334-321-1390, and Jones is up next. Hey, Jones.
Hello, gentlemen. How are y'all doing? Thank you for the show. It's wonderful. Got a question for B-Matt.
Fire away.
I know nothing about Stephen Pearl, and would you please, with respect to coach retention, recruiting, fundamental basketball analysis, coaching and all, can you – give me a small critique so I'll know,
of course,
going in whether to be optimistic or a little bit reticent to feel optimistic. Can you please do that? And I'll hang up and listen.
Be glad to. And first of all, Bruce Pearl is an original. You know, he's got that force of nature personality, that incredible charisma that just you just don't repeat. You know, that just doesn't come along a lot. And But Stephen is a very, very experienced, very quality coach. On Auburn's staff right now, his main duties have been as a defensive coordinator for as far as, you know, game planning and such. Really, really good at that.
Just think of Auburn's defense and how important that's been over the over the past decade.
If you want to provide a little background information, he played played for Bruce at Tennessee.
Yep.
And played in 101 games, and then went into the private sector for a little while, and then reunited with his dad when Bruce got the Auburn job, and became initially was a strength and conditioning staff. And then became was director of basketball operations, promoted after 2017 from Dobo to coach, and he's been on the coaching staff ever since 2017. 2023, he became associate head coach and took a more active role in defensive preparation.
Outstanding recruiter.
Right. The other thing that he's been really involved in is the portal. He's taken sort of a lead recruiter and evaluator and strategy when it comes to the portal. If you look at what Auburn did in the portal, was it 10 guys they had to bring in? Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah.
And just so diverse in what they did. They went D2, they went bigger schools.
From JUCO to smaller schools to, Power 4 schools.
To Europe. Yes, I mean, Auburn's gone all over the world to find some of these players. And I think with, I would think that I've heard Coach K talk about this, that the older you get as a college basketball coach, while the experience is incredibly helpful, the wisdom is incredibly helpful, this is still a sport where you have to relate to 18 to 22-year-olds. Yeah. That doesn't change even as you get older. And having someone who was more recently 18 to 22 years old, yeah, having someone that was that can relate to players on a slightly, almost as peers, right? Compared to, I know Coach K talked about that with Shire a lot, having someone like that around to relate to younger players. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Stephen has been incredibly helpful at, a former college basketball player and a guy who played for Coach Pearl, like a guy who's been in a lot of those same situations that the players have been in, being able to, being able to rely on that on the staff. I'm sure it's helped Auburn. I'm sure it's helped Bruce, and I'm sure it helped Stephen prepare for this day.
Yeah, and very hardworking, very committed to his job, newly married, a new child was born here. Was it this year or was it last year?
It's in the baby's in the video. It's a fairly young seeming baby.
Yeah.
You can see it at the end of the farewell video.
A little bit, but
and the caller asked about coach retention too.
Yeah,
I would think that Stephen and maybe Marquise Daniels would be a pretty obvious candidate if you wanted to keep the staff.
Possibly Matt Gaetens. I'm not sure how you say his name correctly, but he was just brought in as general manager, but he has that assistant coaching type background, so he could possibly move up into one of those spots too.
Right. I think I don't even know if they necessarily need to bring in an outsider for this, or if they feel like they have internal options where they can move Stephen.
That's been Bruce's way, too.
You can move Stephen up to head coach, and then you can find one of the internal options to step in. I would think that the Burgermaster is sticking around.
Yeah.
I would think that they feel pretty good about being able to keep Ira right on staff as well. I mean, there are some valuable parts. Bruce will tell you.
Now you have associate head coach openings.
Yeah. I mean, I would think that being able to keep the staff around, we mentioned that earlier, being able to keep the staff around Bruce intact for Stephen is probably especially a move.
A plus,
especially 6 weeks before the start of the season.
Yep. Right.
Like, that's the other thing to mention here. Auburn plays a game 6 weeks from today.
I do.
Like, then, and before that, in exhibition play.
You got two pretty big exhibitions. Yeah, before that.
You got exhibitions. Absolutely. Before that. Auburn's got an opener. Most college basketball teams have an opener. Six weeks from today, Monday night, all over the country.
But a couple of weeks before that, you start your exhibitions. So, yeah. Anything else, Jones? Oh, okay. 334-321-1390. Let's go ahead and get to our first break of hour number two. Ty, hang on. You're up first when we come back here on the Monday Drive.
ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back into the drive. 18 minutes after 5 o'clock here on this Monday afternoon, right back to the drive hotline. And Ty the Tiger is up next. Hey, Ty.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, man.
Man, wow, what a day in Auburn, huh? Just doesn't feel real, man, with Pearl leaving. But, you know, I think he did it the right way. And I think to hand over the reins, you know, to keep everybody here, I think, you know, best way to do it, you know. I really feel like Steven will be all right. Still, you know, we see with, you know, I don't want to bring him up, but, you know, we see with Gus, you know, some people are better assistants than they are head coaches. So let's see. But I think he's set up for success, you know, with this. Because obviously,
Gus Malzahn won a lot of games as a head coach. I don't know if it's, I don't know if he's the first guy to come to mind as
no, better. There are plenty of examples, and look, Gus is probably more comfortable as an assistant. But yeah, we'll find out about Steven.
I would say he is a much better OC than he is a head coach. I'm not saying he's a bad head coach. I'm saying he's a much better OC.
Oh, I agree. I think that's his perfect job.
That's true. Now, but there have been some OCs and DCs that were bad head coaches.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. But anyway, I just want to kind of, you know, throw two things out there on just my memories of him, and just one was
Muschamp.
Muschamp.
Exactly. There you go.
That's who I was looking for, maybe. But one, I just want to say, man, you know, we were coming up here before we moved to Auburn. We live here now, or Opelika, but, you know, we were coming up here to games, you know, when we were not good. And you could just tell, you know, we were getting better, the energy, and just it was cool as a fan to watch it from the beginning. And to be a part of it before you could buy a $15 ticket to Auburn Arena, you know, or now you can't even get one for $150.
Oh man, back in the day, there weren't scalpers. There were people just looking to give tickets away.
Yep. Exactly. I mean, literally, we had somebody at work that was a sponsor, and you know, they never used their tickets. And so I'd get them all the time, and we would just come all the time. We'd make the drive. My kids be late to school the next morning. It'd be what it'd be. You know, best dad in the world. That's what we do.
Tom, I pulled up video. It's on YouTube. In December of 2006, Pitt came to Auburn as the number two team in the country and played at Beard Eves. And that baby's half full, generously speaking, on a Saturday
afternoon.
That's
the afternoon. Lower level you're looking at, too.
Yeah, like generously speaking, you know, and that's a, you know, a year, that's a couple years after the Sweet 16, year before that team makes the NIT run with Lebo. But it is the number two team in the country coming to Auburn with the students in town. And it's, I mean, on a Saturday afternoon, that thing was maybe half full.
The last thing I want to say is that I'm just grateful I got to go watch his last win. I know his last game, obviously, we lost to Florida, but I was there for the Elite Eight. And just kind of like, again, like I said, to be given a ticket because nobody wants to go is where I started watching Auburn basketball.
Yep.
And to be in that arena at the end. And that roar with Janai Broome coming back from the tunnel and just all of it, watching him cut down the net and just all of it, man. I mean, you know, good for Bruce. You know, look, go chill at the lake house. You know, help your son out as much as you can. But you know, you won't hear me say anything bad from him. And I mean, I'm just grateful that he came and changed this program around. It was just it was cool to watch. Cool to be a part of. You know, my son is infamous for getting on the Jumbotron, and we went to basketball games over and over, and that was his main goal. And it's been a really cool family thing for us. We really like to go and see it, and man, it's a sad day, but maybe this is the start of something new and amazing. But you know, it's still sad to see him go, and man, just thankful for everything he did. Like I said, to go watch that last game, watch him cut down the net, man, it was just good, just a good thing to do, man. So, man, As always, War Damn Eagle.
Appreciate it, Ty. That's great stuff. 334-321-1390. John is up next. Hey, John.
Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing, War Eagle?
Hey, man.
I always want to thank, you know, our buddies Pat and Dan Gratis for paying for this hotline. But I remember in 1987 when Auburn High and Valley High moved their game to the Coliseum on a Friday night and had about 6,500 people. And Auburn played that Saturday against Mississippi State and had about 2,500
yep.
people. So.
Yep.
But I also want to remind everybody that a former Bruce assistant, who is Stephen Pearl's best friend, I think they talk on the phone every day, was Todd Golden. And
yep.
he did pretty good coming off that staff and using some of Bruce's stuff and throwing some youth in there. And, you know, I'm not disappointed at all. I think that, you know, it's a natural thing, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, you've been familiar with Auburn basketball for a long time. John, did you ever think that you'd see what we've seen here over the last 7-8 years in Auburn basketball?
No, there's no way. I mean, and like I said, I went to a lot of those games. Heck, I went with, when Bill Lim was still coach.
Mm-hmm.
All the Bob Davis things.
Oh, yeah.
Man, and he had some fantastic talent. You know, we never had the success, but, you know, we had the type of talent that Bruce has been getting. Just, you know, we can never win more than about 18 games. And back in those days, I guess, you didn't really have – well, there weren't 64 going to the tournament.
So. No, there weren't even 32. I guess, was it maybe 32? It seemed like it was
maybe
24. But, yeah.
But, heck, you remember how we get excited when we got an NIT bid.
Oh, you're not kidding. Any kind of postseason was such a huge deal.
So I'm happy. I'm happy for Bruce. I'm happy for Steven. And can't wait. And I hope we can go to Texas A&M and get this bad taste out of our mouth.
I hear you.
They can.
Good hearing from you, John. Take care, man.
So with the Todd Golden comparison, I totally understand because Stephen and Todd talk about how they're basically brothers,
yep.
you know, through the upbringing they both had and their experience, their shared experience working for Coach Pearl. The difference with, you know, with Todd Golden, you do have a couple of years as a mid-major assistant coach and then promoted to,
right.
I think he spent 3 or 4 years as the head coach at San Francisco before he got the Florida job. With Stephen, you know, you skip that step and take over as the head coach, but at the same time, you know, I mean, it's his resume is shockingly similar to John Shire's. Like they're almost the same age. They both had jobs at one school before taking over at that school, and they were coaching. They were working for the guy who coached them. Now, John Shire is not Coach K's son, but if he was, it'd be the exact same thing. Instead, it's just a former player who spent. I think they may have jumped. I think Shire started working for Coach K in 14 or 15. So it's almost exactly the same time that Stephen leaves the private sector to start working for his dad again. And Shire learned from Coach K, took over, and he's done very well. I think considering how tough it is to maintain Duke at that level and be the guy after Coach K. Talk about it all the time. Being the guy after the legend is a tough gig.
It is.
In college athletics. You know, I think Stephen's about as prepared for it. Aside from, you know, if he'd had a couple of years as a successful head coach at a mid-major, that would be great too. Absent that on his resume, Stephen seems to be as prepared for this as you possibly could be.
And it's interesting, you look at, and we mentioned it a while ago, and you said it too, Brian. I mean, all the newcomers, the new faces. Tahad Pettiford is the only returning player, but there's talent on this roster.
There is.
I mean, I think Bruce has left Stephen in a situation where
they were killing me on the Doug show for saying that earlier. I don't know if you heard, but
they
don't
think there's talent.
That,
on this
that I said. I said people would say this is one of the 10 or 20 best rosters.
They're a preseason top 20 team. Yeah.
That was my point. It was like
when you're a preseason top 20 team, but they're not a preseason top like 10 team.
No,
where if Auburn only wins 20 games this year,
right.
It's not going to be, well, God, Bruce would have done so much better because it is so many, there's so many new faces right. on this team. So I think it's set pretty well where it's like, look, he has some talent to work with, but you don't really know that much. The expectations shouldn't be through the roof
no.
for this team.
And they play a tough schedule.
Yes, they do.
With all the new players, it might be a little bit of a slow start.
It may be, but I think it set up well for Steven to be able to have success
the alternative
this year without the expectations, without people feeling like it's a disappointment if you're not back in the Final Four.
This team could be so much better by the time down it's the January, stretch. February, than it is in November, December.
And this could be, you look, and this could be an easier is probably not the right word. This seems to be a better situation for a new head coach than if Steven had taken over the week after the Final Four and had to rebuild.
Had to re-recruit
Tahad and rebuild a roster around him without the experience. I think getting the boost of having this roster already installed, and Steven played a role. A large role in assembling
it. Not a small one, right?
I think keeping that in place. That only helps him have the ideal first year as Auburn head coach.
334-321-1390. Back to the drive hotline, and Steve is up next. Hey, Steve.
Hey, just a quick Pearl story to show you what he's done for this program. I met him briefly at the Jason Duffner golf tournament, like after year two.
Mm-hmm.
We got to talking, and I have an unusual last name. I told him my last name and knew my brother. I lived in Montgomery at the time. He lived here. And we started talking. At the end of the conversation, he goes, "So you got season tickets?" I said, "You know, Coach, I don't." I said, "I'm a bad alumnus. My daughter plays this. It's Montgomery on a Wednesday night." He literally poked me in the chest. And he said, "You better get them now because we're going to be good."
He was right.
I didn't think anything about it. Well, fast forward, same tournament after the 19 season. Get reintroduced to him. Say my last name again. He smiles and looks at me and goes, "Did you ever get those season tickets?" And I went, "No, sir." And he goes, "Well, you can't get them now, can you?" And just laughed his butt off. And just the memory, just the, you know, the way to work a crowd, and just the memory of that. And I was like, that's why that guy's special.
Yep.
Because I'm nobody. And he remembered the name. He remembered the conversation from, 4 years before,
mm-hmm.
and remembered the butt of the joke that he could make of me. That's incredible. Everybody in the group laughed. I mean, You ever meet the guy, you want to run through the wall for him.
Mm-hmm.
He gets you so fired up. So, I mean, I'm grateful that we've had him. I hope that, you know, he goes on and enjoys the remainder of his life. I mean,
I'm grateful that Auburn's keeping him.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, he wasn't ever going to go anywhere. He loved it here. I mean, and I think you're going to see more and more of this. I mean, there's enough money in this. You don't have to do it for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. If you're sensible at all, you can live very, very, very comfortably, you know, and enjoy your later years.
And I wonder if it's harder than ever before to be to be several generations removed from the players you're coaching and try to do this.
Yeah.
And listen, y'all know this. You cannot coach kids like we were raised.
No.
They have money. They're coddled from, especially in basketball, from fifth and sixth grade on. They're identified as a player with potential. AAU ball is the worst thing in the world for discipline and fundamentals in basketball. And they get up here, and guess what? They can leave.
Yep, transfer portal says, they can leave just about any time.
I don't have to take this. You can't coach me hard. And that's the one thing that they have done, is they bought in players that will take hard coaching, and those that haven't been able to take hard coaching have left. And I don't think any of them have gone on to be great anywhere else. I don't know if CBM will do that this year at USC. We'll see. And hopefully they can keep that together. I mean, I know they got 30 days to keep a group together. And, I mean, once again, unfair rules. Kids can leave, but we can't bring any in for 30 days because somebody decided to retire.
Right. Of course, it'd be really tough now to leave because they're not going to be able to – it's hard to imagine they'd be able to be eligible to go somewhere midterm.
Well, I agree. But you could leave and then
play. That's right. They could sit out and then start playing in January somewhere else.
Right.
Start playing the second semester. And you know, that may happen. We may lose a little depth. But I hope that the culture that's been created here has this group of, you know, 10, 12 core guys that want to go up and show. And I will say this, and I could be wrong. I've been lucky enough to have really good seats at one time, and Bruce doesn't do a lot of on-game coaching. I mean, he you know, you got an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. He's very engaged with his coaches. And so anybody thinks that he was making every decision and every timeout and calling every play, he hadn't done that in a while. You know, I mean, he's delegated to some very good young coaches. One of them happens to be his son, who's now our head coach. So I'm not really worried about the on-court thing. And I'll say this because he made fun of me in front of people. And we may actually take a timeout this year. I swear, I want to see Bruce's contract. I think it's $50 a game for every timeout he keeps.
Now he can finally cash all those in, right? All those timeouts he's saved.
He's taking them all. That's right.
He can use them as vacation.
He's got a whole lot of timeout coupons that he's got for the last 11 years.
I just looked it up while you were talking, just to see, you know, if my suspicion was correct. So I pulled up the 18-19 preseason poll for men's basketball, and by my count, Kentucky. Or no, actually, I take that back. By my count, Duke, Virginia, North Carolina, Villanova, and Auburn, 5 of the top 11 in the preseason poll in 18-19 have had coaches retire since then. Not go somewhere else, but that's Roy. That's Kay.
Well, that is some very established big name coaches.
Yeah, Jay Wright.
The times they have a change.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's, I mean, you've got Izzo and Mark Few like still hanging on, but you know, 20 plus years in.
Well, and it's sort of like what's going on in football. I mean, basketball, you're going to see a general manager come in. You know, that's going to be one of the hardest things going to be for Steven, finding somebody who can do the portal like he did the portal. He's been great in identifying kids in the portal, and that's a full time job. He's not going to be able to do that as a head coach. And I think a lot of the older coaches are like, you know, is all this worth it? I mean, the fun of what happens on the court may not be worth what goes on, you know, off the court now. And you'll have young kids that have come up in this system, so it's how they, you know, learned to coach and how they were raised. It's not a big deal, but people have done it the other way. They're not going to do it for a long time. It's difficult. But more power to him. You know, we're blessed to have him. You know, the best of luck for him for the rest of his, you know, career at Auburn, and just hopefully Steven can keep it going. And, you know, I don't think we're ever go back to where we started, just put it that way. Like you're talking about 2000.
Boy, I hope not.
You could walk around and.
Goodness.
I think they've created a culture with the students. I mean, we got to continue to win, but, you know, it matters here now. And
it does.
And it'll be fun. It'll be good to see what happens. So I just wanted to tell that story. I tell that story whenever anybody talks about it.
That's a great one, Steve.
It's just proof of who he is.
So, oh, yeah.
Y'all have a good evening.
Absolutely. Appreciate the call. Bye. We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. James, hold on. You'll be up when we come back for the final half hour of the Monday Drive.
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final 20 minutes of the Monday drive, and right back to the drive hotline. And James is up next. Hey, James.
Hey, guys. So, I've got a lot to say, but I'm going to have to call back a couple times this week.
That's fine. We'll be here.
The Coach Pearl thing, all I got to say is I'm not worried. We have trusted Pearl for years, and it's not like his son has been sitting around doing nothing all this time.
Right.
I think we couldn't get a better choice unless we hired Todd Golden back, and I don't think that's going to happen. So, I'm fine with it. I'm not worried about it. I wish I could talk about the Oklahoma game. I don't know what there can be done to change things, but we need Auburn as a whole, all of us as a whole at Auburn need to figure it out and need to start fighting back. Some way, somehow, forget the fines, whatever that may be.
Appropriate accountability will be applied.
Yeah, what a
crock.
I don't, you know, I do. It did lead to a conversation I had with a couple of folks about, like, is that something, if we're talking about the Oklahoma touchdown, and to me, the Oklahoma touchdown is the most egregious. A lot of the other stuff
the most obvious.
Yeah, a lot of the other stuff can be argued as borderline, even if you think Auburn should have gotten a different result than they did. The one that the SEC puts a statement about, the touchdown from Oklahoma there, you know, the play,
you can't hide from that.
Yeah, the play they run from Little Giants, you know, is like, I mean, to me, that's like, if it results in a score, should it be reviewable? Like, is that something that if the referees miss in the moment and it results in a touchdown, should the replay official be able to say this was an illegal?
Hey, Auburn's trying to call time at the same time, and I mean, they don't even get that.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I know we're suddenly doing an Oklahoma show, but it's like there's a lot to talk about from that game that applies to Auburn moving forward that has nothing to do with the referees,
right?
But it's also difficult to discuss that game.
No, you meaningfully, can't ignore that. No.
Meaningfully, yeah. Without acknowledging the Oklahoma touchdown and several of the others. Look, I texted Bill. I never text Bill during games. Catch and fumble was all I said because I thought
it was. It should never have been changed.
Well, if the first one's not a catch, right. Then the last one's not a catch.
He catches the ball with his hands. He turns up
two steps.
He's taking his third step.
Yes,
when he's tackled,
when the ball comes out.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know.
I agree, and I couldn't say it better myself. You know, the one thing I will say, and I think you guys have backed me up on this, to the negative Auburn fans listening, I know that they probably think the world is burning to the ground now, but y'all need to take a step back from the ledge, take a breath. The football team is going to be fine. We had a chance to win that game when we had no business having a chance to win that game. And we played awful and still had a chance. And the basketball team's going to be just fine. And the rest of it's going to be fine, too. So everybody just needs to take a step back.
Just chill.
And I expect a different result come Texas A&M because I think someone's going to be really pissed off come Saturday. So,
and there could be – look, that Oklahoma game – great stuff, James. That Oklahoma game could have provided valuable experience, valuable teachable moments for Auburn as to handle a similar situation this week against A&M.
Could it have been like the Clemson game, which I felt Auburn had much less of a chance. They didn't. Auburn didn't compete in that Clemson game.
At Clemson in 17.
That was 11 sacks, I believe, in that game.
Who was Clemson's DC that night?
It was a guy named Brent Venables.
Brent Venables was the defensive coordinator for Clemson that night.
Clemson at that time had a guy on their staff that isn't notorious as much as the Michigan guy is, but they are very good at getting assigns and.
But whatever. I mean, Auburn was less competitive in that ball game than they were. Oklahoma.
And I think Oklahoma's a
really good team.
Oklahoma's got a quarterback and a front seven that can beat some teams really later this year. But no, I think. And the thought of
Auburn would love to play him again.
The thought of being scared of the future without Bruce Pearl, I understand, you know, mm-hmm. that it's uncertain. But I think today is about. I mean, I guess I sound like Cat Stevens or something when I say today's about gratitude, right? Today's
honoring,
about just
being thankful for the peace times and love. That we have had.
Right, but no, it really is absolutely. It's an important day because I mean, so much of the last decade in men's basketball can be directly attributed to Bruce Pearl and would not have been possible without him at the helm.
No question about it. Appreciate the call, James. Brett is up next. Hey, Brett.
Hey, Bill. Since we're talking basketball today, is there any news on how Bashir's been doing?
I mean, I have not been out to practice recently, so I'm not the right person to ask.
I mean, I'd heard positive things about a bunch of guys, but I haven't really heard. There hadn't been really any news lately.
Yeah, but I mean, even in the summer, there's a lot of talk about Philip, however you say his name, Jovich, Freeman, mm-hmm. and Magwood, and all those guys. But it really wasn't much about.
You're right. There wasn't as much buzz about Bashir.
I mean, Bashir was a guy when Auburn landed him that like the list of schools after him for a junior college player was really really impressive. It reminded me a little bit of Chad Baker Mazar a couple years ago, where it's like you don't usually see. Yeah. Kentucky and A&M, and in Bashir's case, you know, you had Kansas State, you know, and some others where it's
USC.
Like, yeah, USC, where it's like, oh yeah, these are big time schools for a junior college player, mm-hmm. and so I think there's probably going to be an adjustment, but some of those raw offensive tools are really really exciting for what Bashir brings to the table.
And I just will add that with the off week coming up next week, basketball practice starting. Today, mm-hmm. we will have lots of opportunities in the coming weeks to report more personnel stuff.
And going to be a lot of interest in it, seeing how how the team's coming together under Steven. So. We'll get one more call before our final break of the afternoon. And Anthony is up next. Hey, Anthony.
How are you guys doing today?
Pretty good.
You know, since this game can't be replayed, And since the referees knew better, but went ahead and allowed that play to go forward and score a touchdown, wouldn't it make better sense for the NCAA to step in and just say this game is just a no contest, declare a no contest?
Well, that would make sense, but do you expect the NCAA to do something to make sense?
Yeah, that's I can't remember that.
Well,
happening.
I mean,
no,
when, you got people, when you got people watching a game like this, and they see what's happening, then you start thinking. Well,
and everybody knew. I mean, you know, it's like everybody. I mean, they immediately go to their you know, expert.
Oh, the rules expert. They go to Matt. Yeah,
I mean, we've had the extra Matt down Austin. Game that was not changed, right? This
right.
Is definitely
no.
Not
that's right.
Changed.
It's just going to be one of those that goes down as this team got shafted.
Yep. Yeah, I was about to use another
thing,
word. But yes, that's
I understand.
The offensive line, the way they played. I mean, you give up those many sacks and tackles for losses. Don't you think now it's time to play some of the second string guys? See if they can do any better. Then to come back this week with the start that first game.
That's interesting. He was asked that,
and I don't think he's ready to do that yet.
No. I think one of the things he pointed out today was of the 10, and I don't believe all 10 of those were really sacks.
Right.
There were a couple.
They changed it to 9, I think.
They changed it to 9, but I'm not even sure all 9 of those. But I mean, there were 14 tackles for loss. No matter what, there were 14 tackles for loss. But I don't think he feels like all of them were on the offensive line. I think a few of them, Jackson Arnold, held onto the ball a little
long.
He
said there were 10 sacks. He said 5 were on Jackson for holding the ball too long. 5 were on the offensive line. And of the 5 on Jackson Arnold, he said there was 1 where he felt like the receiver didn't get off off the line good enough, and that contributed to Jackson not getting rid of the ball quick enough.
But yes, it was a rough day for the offensive line regardless.
But they kind of went – I'll tell you what, I wondered the same thing about going to the bench and if we'll see personnel changes. My suspicion is they've really gone all in on these 5 guys and Too Tall Miller, and I don't know how much faith there is.
I don't think Too Tall got in the game.
But I don't know how much faith there is, you know, internally, that if you pulled – one of these tackles and put in their backup, or if you pulled one of these guards and went to the next man up, that you would see
improvement.
Yeah, I don't know if there. I mean, I think that more data would maybe tell them, hey, we have a glaring problem here or there, and someone's got to go. I think they're thinking this is the group, and they just need to play better.
You know, even if the quarterback did hold a ball too long, you still look at the line because that's what the line is. But I'll say this. You got second guys and third guys practicing every day. They're doing morning workouts, lifting weights, and everything to go into football. You ain't going to continue to have nobody buying into anything if they continue to perform like that, and you won't get a chance to see what he can
do. I agree there, Anthony. Yeah. If they continue to perform like that, then you've got to try. You've got to try somebody else.
And it's Xavier Chaplin. If you just look at PFF,
he struggled.
He'd
have like a 40-something grade.
He had the worst grade of the offensive lineman. Yeah, that's the guy that's making the most money. That's the guy you brought
in. The guy that you brought in to be your anchor there at left tackle.
Yeah.
Who's the offensive line coach?
Jake Thornton.
Well, maybe somebody could call him in the office and make him uncomfortable or something.
I wouldn't be shocked to hear something like that.
It's a huge season. It's a huge season. Yeah, this is a gigantic season for Coach Thornton. I mean, he's been Hugh Freeze's offensive line coach the whole time.
That's right.
At Auburn, and if this thing, I think that if you're looking in if you're still waiting for results at the end of year 3, he's I Love Lucy, right? He's got some splaining to do in that situation.
Well, I tell you, if Hugh Freeze can't go in there and say something to him, an athletic director, somebody, a big booster that's putting the money in the program needs to have a word with this guy because nobody performs like that. I mean, you got a Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt been playing football 100 years like everybody else. They ain't never done nothing like that. Nobody's ever done Vanderbilt like that, as far as I know.
I don't know. I mean, like we were saying, Auburn got sacked 11 times against Clemson a few years ago, and I remember Auburn sacking Alabama
Brody Crowell,
a dozen times.
Hulk,
yeah, that's right. So I mean, you hope it's a one-off, but we'll see. Great stuff, Anthony. We got to get to our final break. Stick with us here on the Monday Drive. Yes.
Opelika, Auburn, Columbus, and
with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7.
Online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email TheDrive@ESPNAU.com.
Not surprisingly, a pretty fast-paced show today. Yeah. And what better way to wind it up than with Spectre? Hey, Spectre.
Hey, guys. Well, I'll tell you what. Is Brian there today?
Yes, I am.
What are we going to do, Brian, with this offensive line? I mean, we got another quarterback supposedly better than the one we had last year coming in here playing like the one we had last year. It seems like they can't play well against SEC teams.
Yeah. I mean, that was bad. That was a bad debut in the SEC for the offensive line and the quarterback as far as holding on to the ball a little bit too long. They've got to get that corrected, basically. You know? Yeah. Oklahoma is a tough place to play. They're a tough defense to go against.
I don't know if they're going to be a lot of defensive lines better than Oklahoma's, but still, Auburn's got to play a lot better than that up
front. Too much of it felt familiar, Spector, to what we've been talking about the last couple of years. And I'd say adding to that, you talk about how the quarterback played, how the O-line played. You know, the running back's touching the ball 12 times total, 13 times total in a game where you call 49 dropbacks in a one-possession game at Oklahoma.
Well, we went from a week ago, why don't we throw it? Why don't we throw it back to the, why don't you run it?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the running backs touched the ball, but they wouldn't do anything. There was one good run we had.
Yeah, well, they were getting hit in the backfield most of the time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Jeremiah Cobb did average 10 yards per carry.
Right, but 44 of it came on that one run.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, guys, see you.
Appreciate it, Spector. All right, Brian, it is a crazy time now. As we said, basketball practice is starting with a new head coach and almost a brand new roster. Football coming off that first conference loss, Texas A&M coming up on Saturday. I mean, you guys have got all kinds. I mean, you're pumping it out. I mean, man, everybody, all of you guys, you should have seen it, Dan. I mean, everybody typing as fast as they can, getting in stories.
We had around 15 stories so far. Do you want to do a quick
yeah, what do you got?
Guess? Oh, Monday Music.
27 years ago, 1998, release of an album, the top-selling album from a top band in the 90s. Include a hit single written for a movie about an angel who falls in love.
These are the Goo Goo Dolls. Yes. Iris has suddenly become this huge hit all of a sudden. Iris is like, it's in the top 40 now.
Wow.
I'm thinking this is because of TikTok. Like, I'm blaming the internet. But yeah, this is Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls. Yep. The movie is City of Angels.
City of Angels.
Nicolas Cage. Meg Ryan.
Yep. You nailed it. I knew he was.
Yeah, no question. Yeah.
The Goo Goo Dolls have a bunch of good songs that all sound more or less the same.
They do.
And Iris is probably the best one.
Slide, yes.
Black Balloon, Name, Broadway,
Yeah, anyway, that's great. Monday Music's is there every week. Tons of stuff, though. Tell everybody how they can keep up with it all this week, Brian.
Blowout covers this week, Oklahoma, A&M, basketball, all that and more, auburnsports.com. Follow me on socials at BMATAU.
Ryan, thanks for coming in, man.
Appreciate it.
Dan, thanks for turning around and coming back.
I might hit a Troy practice up sometime this week, but I needed to be here today.
All right, yeah, absolutely. And we're glad you joined us as well. That's going to wrap things up for the Monday Drive. The voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham, joins us tomorrow. We'll get his thoughts on everything going on as well. Hope you'll join us then.
Thing today.
Yes, he was. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.